you like to learn how to live in your truth? That's kind of an interesting question, right? But our man JC from Wrong to Strong is going to share his truth. And sometimes the truth, it's not always pretty. Sometimes it's darn right ugly. And so JC has, it's a wild story. That's all I can really say. A wild story. He was grown up basically in a gang by the time he was 9 years old. Was in and out of prison for 17 years and now has really cleaned up his life and just on a really strong purpose and living in his truth. And it only came from the journey that he went on and taking full responsibility. So you're not going to want to miss a second of this episode because it's an incredible story, but a lot of value, an incredible amount of value to help you stand in your power, stand in your truth, and you're not going to want to miss any of it. So make sure and stick around all the way to the end of this episode. But before we do, head on over to justgrowvisions.com. If you're looking for a systematic way to turn your dreams, your vision into reality. And if you're not clear on what you want, we'll show you exactly how to do that as well. So if you go to justgrowvisions.com, it'll take you over to our free Facebook group where we go live every Wednesday night. And you can learn our strategies, our techniques, our frameworks for doing this, as well as connecting with a lot of like-minded entrepreneurs, high performers, and just all around amazing people. So head on over to justgrowvisions.com. Without further ado, let's jump this interview with Wrong to Strong.
I didn't say nothing until I was 16, and it was already after I had like tried to commit suicide multiple times. I mean, I was already a mess.
Yeah.
So at like, I want to say 14, I had a nervous breakdown. My whole right side of my body went just numb and I was shaking and I was like a crazy person. They were about to lock me up. My uncle took me to all kinds of specialists and you know, I finally came out with the truth about everything because with me, it wasn't just molestation. It was, you know, rape, the molestation, torture. He would fill up the tub with ice and water and like drown me. Pull me out. And he had a dark closet where he would put me in and I would sit there for hours. And as a little kid, you know, darkness already scares the crap out of you. So being in a room like that, but
you know, how old were you?
Four.
Wow.
I that was from the age of 4 to 9.
For 5 years.
Yeah. So by the time I was 9, man, I got to Chicago and like I was around the gangs, like I wanted revenge. I wanted blood. I can't sit here and lie and say any of it because that's the only thought I had in my head. And it's what helped me become, I guess, violent. And I guess it's what made me survive too because, I mean, Chicago is bad. People don't realize how bad Chicago is. Like, it's bad. And it's always been like that. Mm. It's not now. It's always been like that where people are killing each other left and right. So I don't know, man. It's crazy because I think now about everything that happened to me. And then I'm like, man, it's because of that that I went through that I was able to survive so many things as I got older.
Yep.
You know, that year in segregation that the feds put me in, that breaks most people. And I was able to sit there with my demons in silence and be okay with it because I had done it before. So,
and you said that's the separation. What is that?
Oh, when he used to lock me in the room for hours, like I don't think I would have been able to deal with a year of solitary confinement if I would have never went through.
I didn't realize you did a year of solitary confinement.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I would have never been able to do that if I would have never went through what I went through as a kid. Because you see it when they put you in confinement and you see other people in there. A lot of people can't take it. They start going crazy. So they start cutting themselves. Anything to get like human interaction from the guards or just anybody, really.
Yeah.
And they start going crazy, man. And I always tell people, if you want to really think about like what's wrong with your life or what's wrong with you, I always tell people like just lock yourself in the bathroom for 24 hours. Put your books in there, some food. Sit in the bathtub, get comfortable, and just sit there for 24 hours without moving. And just in silence, just talk to your demons.
I have a friend that did have you ever heard of a darkness retreat?
Yeah.
He did that for a week.
didn't see the light of day for a week. And he said it was the most transformative thing he's ever been a part of.
I look at after...
I'm going to set a timer for like 45 minutes.
But keep running, bro. If not, if you let me go, I could keep going.
Free flowing, man. I don't mind.
I was never a Bible thumper. Never a Bible thumper. Even through all the prisons that I went through, you know, bad places, good places, was really never into it. So when I found God out here after everything, I was out, you know, after I pretty much said I survived already, to me it was really transforming because I was like, man, we're like really spiritual creatures, like
100%.
Everything counts, like in what you do, like even the way you speak about yourself. And the more I started reading, the more I started understanding, I was like, wow, it's been all here this whole time. Because now that I read it and I understand it, I'm talking different. My energy's different. Like, I'm not mad. I don't want to kill everybody. Like, it's just, and it just changed me so much, man, that I was like, wow, I don't need no more proof. Like, this is the deal. This is where it's been at. Like, this is some real gangster stuff right here. Like, being kind and loving to other people, even when they don't treat you right, you know, and, I always believe that God puts you right in the place where you need to be. So I've been to some of the most craziest prisons, most like deadly ones, Mexico here. And there's this church by my house. It's Desert View Bible Church. It's on Carefree Highway. And it's nothing but really old white people, right? I was terrified to go there.
Really?
And I've been to the most dangerous prisons, you know what I mean? But I was terrified to go there. Because I felt out of place, yeah. You know, and I started going and I started going and, you know, I had people that treated me really good. I had people that were still racist against me, blah, blah, blah. And I, at first I was struggling so much with the idea of, okay, these supposedly are Christians. And then I realized like, man, nobody's perfect. Christians are not. You're like, nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I was there for me. To learn to love on these people, even when they don't love on me, because that's the true like gift of love, like
exactly,
you know, caring and
unconditional,
loving. Yeah, unconditional,
because that's the only love, really. There's no other love,
so it's man,
unconditional
bro.
Or not,
yeah, it's changed me, man. My walk, everything. I mean, my whole life is a trip now.
So why don't you like let's share a little bit about your past? I'd like to hear a little bit. We don't have to dive too deep into it. Because I would definitely like to hear, like, what's your psyche now? What's your goals? What's your vision? You're talking about getting kids off the street. I want to hear a lot more about that. But for the audience and some context, kind of explain, you know, you were sharing a little bit, but, like, what is some of the things else that you've gone through? And, like, what are the things that you learned from all of that?
You know, growing up in Chicago and then growing up with, you know, parents that really weren't there. My grandparents They stepped in, but they really couldn't handle me. So I started looking for a family on the streets. And I think that's what a lot of kids do when they've been through, you know, traumatic events or just, you know, no love at the house. They seek it on the streets. And for a while, I jumped around from gang to gang. I really didn't want to commit to nobody in Chicago because I moved around so much that, you know, I really couldn't commit to one gang because it was almost like a death. Like, you're going to get killed if you're part of this gang and then you're over here in this neighborhood. So
that's the deal. It's like you pick one, otherwise everyone's combative.
Yeah. And in Chicago, there's really no way around it, man. There's the gangs are so big, so organized that it is what it is. It's a lifestyle. Huh. And I just became very violent, man. I told people if you were not carrying a gun at the age of 10, then we have different childhoods.
Wow.
Because I was carrying a gun at the age of 10. I was shooting at people at the age of 10. I was robbing people for the older gang members. You know, obviously, older gang members love to use broken children, you know, and that's what happened with me. I was used to do dirty work. And in my head, my heart is they were loving me, showing me, you know, a family because I was doing it. And you fall into that trance. And I started to fall in love with the streets, with the violence, the drugs, the money, the power. I mean, it's all I knew. I didn't want to be a police officer. I didn't want to be a firefighter. I wanted to be a gangster. So, you know, my whole life was spent like that, all the way until I was 16. I finally became part of a gang called the Satan Disciples. I was one of the founding members of like a big, you know, street gang over there, 59th Street. And it was just every day I tell people every day was either my life was almost taken or I was trying to take a life. Oh. Every day. I mean, hundreds of my friends get shot up, ran over, head blown off. I tell people it's just like you went to fight a war. Like you see so much blood, guts. You see so much bad stuff that you wonder how these kids from the South Side of Chicago are even making it in life after seeing all these traumas.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how bad I was until I got older and in my, you know, late mid 40s when I got out of prison, and I really thought I was like, wow, I made it. But nah, my problems had just started. Mm-hmm. Because now I had to learn to not be violent in a normal world in order for me to stay out. And I didn't know how to do that. My wife had to teach me. Because me, everything was like, what'd you say? Where are you from?
So it's like you're almost ready to just, you're aggressive and violent.
I told people my flight and fight mode turned on at the age of 10 and never turned off. Wow. So I had to almost like, I don't even know how to explain it. Sometimes when my wife first met me, she used to tell me sometimes, slow down. And I'd be like, okay. Because I would be going 100, and I'm still like that sometimes when I get excited about stuff. I'm a little kid trapped in a grown man's body. I really never got to be a little kid, so I'm like a little kid.
Yeah.
So sometimes my wife has to tell me calm down because I'm like too excited. I get too fast. It's just stuff that I've dealt with my whole life, man, with the whole everything, how I grew up.
So what did you learn in prison?
Man.
And like what sticks out to you from prison?
Honestly, I tell people I learned a lot in prison. I mean, if it wouldn't have been for prison, I wouldn't be disciplined. Mm-hmm. A lot of my discipline is because of prison, just because every hour counts in there. So people look at my schedule and everything's scheduled in there. Like right now I have you blocked off. Then as soon as I'm done with you, I have my drive and then my wife. Mm-hmm. And it's just all on there because that's what I learned in prison. I'm a creature of habit. If I don't do the same thing every day, it kind of like doesn't feel right to me. Mm-hmm. I get more productive when I do the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that I learned in prison. I thank God that I went to prison because I would have never got my GED out here. I would have never got college credits. I would have never got a sports nutrition degree. There's a lot of things that I learned in there that I would have never learned out of here. Like when I went into prison, I didn't know how to read and write. Wow. So like, it's almost like I was forced to learn to be able to make it through there, you know? So I'm very grateful for the 17 years that I spent in there. It sounds crazy, but. Yeah.
17 straight years.
No, in and out. Okay. In and out stretches. I have like 4 gun cases in Chicago. I mean, I have drug cases here, DUIs here. I ran from the cops here a bunch of times on my motorcycle. Just so in and just out, like
chasing
man.
You down, and you're
just gone.
Wow.
You're not supposed to, you know, give up when you're a rough rider. You're not supposed to just pull over. It's that whole outlaw thing, I guess.
Well, I mean, you know, I would have to say that would probably be an advantage jumping into the entrepreneurship world. is like just the persistence, never giving up in an interesting way.
You know, when I came home in 2013, I was like, I'm going to be one of the best mentors, one of the best fitness trainers, everything. And I got out and I didn't know how to not be a criminal. I was still, I guess you could say, dabbing with both worlds. And finally, my probation officer was like, you know what? I'm gonna send you back. And I was like, all right. And that's when I got sent back, I really sat down and I thought about it. I was like, look at what you did in 2 years that you were out. You got out, you opened up. I started working at LA Fitness, but I became their master trainer in like 6 months. Then 6 months later, I opened up my own gym. After that, I became partners with someone else with another gym. And I became a 5%er. I sponsored athlete with Rich Piana. And my head started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But then I started acting like a criminal again because I had money. So I was acting like a drug dealer. So I was going to strip clubs again. I was drinking. I was hanging around with all the wrong people. And when I was sitting in prison, I was like, wow, you know, that's how it happens. This is how you come back. I don't care who you surround yourself with. That's what is going to, you're going to become that person. Yep. And I surrounded myself with criminals again. So I became a criminal again. So when I came home in 2017 after my violation, and I got sent to one of the most dangerous prisons in the U.S., Victorville. I was on a TV show called Dead Files because of that prison, because it is bad. Like, there's people getting killed there every day. It's like, I'm not going to lie, like, when I seen where I was going, I was terrified.
How's that, like, is it stabbings mostly?
Yeah, stabbings. Like, everybody in high security level yards, man, people have knives, and there's a lot of hate, there's a lot of anger, just a lot of displacement.
Is it like, is there gangs within in there, so that's like a bunch of people and then they gang up on one person?
And sometimes sometimes you have to watch yourself even more from your own kind than from others. It's a really dark, dark world, man, that I would not wish upon, not even my worst enemy, not even my worst enemy. People that make it out, they're lucky that they make it out, because it's really easy to go in with 5 years and end up with a life sentence in there.
Because
you have to protect yourself. You have to, like, there is no questions. Like, I always tell people, fight now and ask questions later, because that's how it is in there. Only in there it's like, stab now and let's ask questions later.
So you would defend yourself sometimes you would kill people because you're just defending yourself?
You're just defending yourself.
Wow.
And guess what? They're not letting that go.
Yeah.
It's crazy how the system is, but I mean, I always tell people, man, I put myself there. I have to own it. I have to realize that if I wasn't doing what I was doing, I wouldn't have been there. Do I regret it? Yeah, but would I change anything? No, because it made me the man who I am today. And I tell everybody has a story, man. You just, sometimes you have to shut up and listen.
Yeah, I agree. I think everyone has a story. Because I've been doing this podcast for, couple years, and it's like I sit down and have all these amazing conversations and people share these wild stories, and people are like, oh, that was a crazy story, this guy has a crazy story, she had a crazy story. I think everyone has a crazy story. I think a lot of people don't share their story and don't realize that they have a wild story.
Well, it's like the cop that's discipling me, he was a cop in Phoenix for like 30 years. He's my best friend, John Humphrey. He's had God in his life since he was like 9 years old. So he's like, oh, you don't want to hear my testimony, JC. Mine is boring. It's not like yours. And I'm like, no. I want to hear what it was to have God in your life, your whole life. What was it to not be a criminal. Like, I want to hear the story.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what I said.
Like, it gives you perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's why everybody, you have to listen to everybody's story in order for you to get even something out of it. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. You have to listen.
So, okay, you get out of prison. And, like, what made the shift? Because you said you went, you were kept going in, and then you came out, and then, like, what really clicked finally where you're like, I'm not going back?
Well, I got out in 2017, like, to the end of 2016, came home, nothing again, no shoes, nothing. And I really wanted to change. I went to the library. Everybody cracks up. I Googled, how do you change?
How do you change?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it shot me a bunch of stuff, you know what I mean? You know, AA, all kinds of stuff. And then it said, you know, college.
How do you change? Wow.
And I was like,
that's interesting, because I'm the marketer in me is always like just intrigued with what people type in.
So I was like, okay. Because Google knows everything. That's what I was told before I came home from prison. So I was like, all right, so I can do the college thing. I was like, I got some credits, you know, from prison, blah, blah, blah. So I get to the college, Phoenix College. I'm terrified. I went to Walmart and I bought a book bag. This is just to show you how much of a child I am inside. I went to buy a book bag. I bought the crayon thing. Like, stuff you would buy if you were going, like, to first grade or second grade, yeah. Right? Yeah. Pencils, all that stuff. I just felt like I needed it for school. So I go into the office, I'm waiting in line, the lady calls me, and she's like, hey, how you doing? And I was like, so I just got out of prison. My wife hates that.
Very first line.
My wife hates that. She's like, why does that have to be the first sentence? And I'm like, I just got out of prison, and I need college courses so I can change. And the lady's like, okay, let me see. And she starts, like, looking. She's like, you should take this class. And I looked at it, and I was like, wait, who takes that class? It was criminal justice. And she's like, well, cops, social workers. And I was like, I don't think I want to sit next to a cop. I mean, I just told you I just got out of prison. She's like, you're like this class. Trust me. And something in me just felt like a motherly love. It was an older lady. So I was like, okay, sign me up, coach. I'll do it. Plus, it was cheap, too. It was like $100-something. So I got it. And that's how I met John, the cop, the guy that disciples me. He was the professor there.
Really?
I got there 30 minutes early. I was going to try and scare him because I didn't know he was a cop yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I got there 30 minutes early. I was sitting in front. He walked into the room, so I walk in right behind him, and I just catch him as soon as he puts his stuff down, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to sit in front, but don't pick me. I'm here to learn, but don't pick me. I told him just like that, with that voice. I have this phobia as a kid because I didn't know how to read.
Mm.
So when I would get picked, I would lose it, and I would act a clown, and you know, it's just kids. He's like, okay. He sits me down. And man, I really started to fall in love with the class, the way he taught, the way he made stories about everything. And I'm a people watcher.
Mm.
I always watch people to see if they really live the way that they're saying they're living. And yeah, man, this dude was like solid, like nothing but care and love for like everybody, all his students, everything. So I graduate, he gives me a devotion, and he's like, you know, I would like to share with you one day what, you know, Jesus Christ has done in my life. And I was like, John, we just started being friends. Please, I don't want to do this. So he steps away, but we still communicated. He was watching me live my life. I was still living a lot of turmoil. I was drinking, smoking weed, doing a lot of stuff I shouldn't have been doing. And, then my wife comes into my life, and she's just my friend. She started working at the gym, and she tells me one day, what is wrong with Strong? I was like, it's me. I mean, can't you see? And she's like, no. And I'm like, what do you mean, no? She's like, no, I just feel like that's not you. Hmm. And she just started picking at me, like, little by little, man. And you know,
When did the brand come in place?
The brand came in place right when I came home in 2017. I was...
So right away, right? As soon as you got out.
Yeah, as soon as I got out. I mean, I still have my notebook where I have all my notes of me writing the ideas down. I had over 100 names, and that's the one I picked 2 weeks prior to me getting released from the yard. And I just stuck with it. I was like, wrong strong. And I came home and I started putting it together, but it was more for me. I was like, I'm going to get famous. I'm going to get rich. Me. It wasn't about helping nobody. It was about me. Hmm. Everything started to shift the more I started to learn, like, to love, care. When I met my wife, I mean, she had me watch the Shack. I had never cried so much in my life.
What's the Shack?
It's a Christian-based movie. You should watch it. Yeah. His daughter gets murdered and raped. And God is asking this man to forgive that man.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man, dude, you don't even know. Like, I just got the chills. I just got the chills. She had me watch that, and I had never cried and had never felt like such, so, like, weak. I can't really explain it. I hadn't spoke to my mom in 20 years. I called her right after I watched that movie.
Really?
Yeah. And damn. Same thing for my dad. I called both of them. And it started from there, man. My heart started getting softer, and I started telling my wife, man, I want to help people. And she's like, yeah, babe, I mean, that's what you're supposed to be doing. Like, your story, what you've been through. And I was like, this, do it. This. So I applied for the, 501c, something like that. And I got it. And everything started to change, man, once I started helping people. Like, I said, just helping them, just telling them my story. I'm not rich, but I'm so happy and I have so much peace in my heart. I can't explain it sometimes.
I can feel it, man.
And I love hugging people. I love, like, just showing them that there's hope no matter what. Like, it's never too late. Like, you could be right at the, like, edge. It's never too late.
Well, I heard a quote a while back that just opened up my mind even more. And it said that no amount of darkness can extinguish a light.
Yeah, that's so true, man.
Shit gets dark. I mean, we talked about it, but it doesn't matter how dark it gets because the light can never go out.
Yeah, man. And you know, it was funny because when I went back to my neighborhood to share my testimony, a lot of my friends were there that I grew up with that knew the old me.
Mm.
And one of my friends just kept looking at me. Looking
Where
at
were they?
Me.
Are they still doing the whole gang thing?
No, they're actually getting discipled by like me, John. Wow. You know, we have a little crew in Chicago now. We have we have our Wrong Strong Chicago crew, and it's a lot of guys from my neighborhood. He sat there, and then he comes up to me, and he's like, JC, and I'm like, what? He's like, you don't swear no more. I was like, yeah, I try not to. I was like, I don't, but yeah, I try not to.
Why not?
And it's just, my walk, man, has gotten so serious because I've seen what he's done in my heart. And it's all over scripture to not speak like that, to not, you know, the tongue is bad. Like, you could speak life or death. You could speak even to yourself. When people don't realize that, when you're putting yourself down, like, you're believing that. Yeah. You're putting yourself down. So, like me, I've always been a dreamer, and I tell my wife that that's what kept me from going crazy my whole life. Everything that I've been through, like the prisons, just the trauma, everything, is that I always dreamed, no matter what. When I was sitting in those prison cells, I always dreamed that maybe I could become a better man. Maybe one day I could have a family. You know, I grew up watching TV in prison, so I based a normal life on what I seen on TV. So I was like, man, I used to watch that House on the Prairie, and I'd be like, man, maybe that's what a family should be like. And I watched different stuff, you know, and sometimes I would watch like sad stuff, and I knew I was gonna cry, so I would kick everybody out of the TV room, like wanting to stab them. And then I would just start.
Wow, the dichotomy there.
You know, and I would break down crying, man, because I didn't know what normal was. I didn't. And that's why, man, I love my wife so much for what she's brought into my life and just what she's taught me, man. I mean, she was the only one that stuck around. My relationship record was 3 months. 3 months, and girls were running for cover. My PTSD, my jealousy, my just how I was, I was pretty much like a narcissist, pretty much. I shouldn't even, that's pretty much the word. So to experience a different person, that just brings a lot of joy to me. Mm-hmm. It makes me really happy because I never thought I could be a man with morals. So, and man.
Now you're doing it.
It just makes me smile.
What are you talking about? How you're like, you're really happy now. So like, what's a bad day? What's a challenging day for you right now that comes up?
I mean, we have bad days, good days, but I look at it more as like, this day will pass too, you know, like it's just like a season, a storm. And before it was more like something would go wrong and I would lose, like everything would like go out the window. I would end up in prison, you know, drunk, something like that. A couple months back, me and my wife we were having disagreements because I was getting so busy with work and everything. And we were about to, you know, split up. We were about to get divorced. And I was like, all right. So I went to the gym, then I went to a service. And one of my clients has been with me for a long time. That's almost like a dad to me. He was like, man, I'm really proud of you, JC. He's like, you broke up everything. He's like, you're not at the strip club. You're not drinking. You're not doing drugs. You're not getting into fights. He's like, I'm really proud of you. And I was like, my heart has changed so much I was trying to fill a void with all that stuff back in the day that really doesn't have you can't fill it. Like you have to have genuine like love and peace in your heart. Because nothing else is going to make you feel it. So, I don't know. I'm happy, man. I'm happy with my life. And I want to be able to share that with others and just guide them, you know, mentor them to a better life.
What would be your advice to your 10-year-old self?
Not to listen to what this tells you, because this reminds you of a lot of who hurt you, who this, and this. I believe that this is how God talks to you. But you really have to, it's almost like learning to work out. You have to really practice, you know, feeling with this instead of this. Because this just got me in trouble all the time. This just convinced me about crazy stuff. And feeling with this, oh man, it's a whole different ball game.
I feel that, man. And I have a little card up here I'll show you when we're done, but my coach gave it to me a couple years ago, and it said, it's like the whole concept is follow your heart. And it's interesting because the heart doesn't usually tell you why. It's just like, hey, go do this. And your ego or your mind is like, why?
Well, that's why you have to have faith. And that's why, like, Christianity, whatever you want to talk about, religion, whatever, you know, a lot of people are afraid to say God. They say higher power, whatever. But you have to have faith. And I believe that your heart is not going to lead you in the wrong way.
Right.
It's that sometimes, like you said, it's our pride. We think we know everything. But, I mean, think about it. When you were a little kid and you did something you shouldn't have done, like, you feel it. It's there. You feel it. You shouldn't have done it. Mm-hmm. So why would you not pay attention to that? You know, I went to speak at a AA thing yesterday, and they asked me, like, why do I think that program works? And I said, one, I mean God. Two, is that you have to start telling the truth. Once you start telling the truth, everything starts to change.
Yep.
Everything.
Big time.
Like, when I had to sit there and tell myself, you're a narcissist, you're a liar, you're a cheater, all these things, I felt like there's little, but I had to do it because I had to keep it real with myself. And if you can't keep it real with yourself, Man, you're gonna be in for a ride.
Well, it's like how if you can't be real with yourself, how can you be real with anybody else?
Exactly.
And I think that people, there's no bullshit. Like, people can read it, they can feel it, even if they can't quite explain it, they know something's off.
Yeah.
When someone's just like,
yeah,
not being honest.
Yeah.
And coming back to you're talking about that. Somewhat in regards to like you were trying to fill things that you had a void you're trying to fill. I heard this at church, and then I was talking to my aunt a little bit about it more, is that we all have these God-sized holes in us that we're trying to fill with everything except mm-hmm. for God. It's like a vacuum.
Yeah.
That's what it's designed for. I'm sure you've heard this stuff
yeah.
before, but it's just like, that's why it's so important to have that faith, have God in your life, because he's the only one that can fill that.
Well, I always tell people, like, I wouldn't be selling something that I didn't believe in, just like when I was on the streets selling drugs. Like, I'm a firm believer in this just because of how I feel in my heart. What he took away, the pain. I have a brand new heart. That's how I always tell people. I got a brand new heart, and I don't feel the pain no more that I used to feel.
Got the upgrade.
Yeah, and it's like, I love it. So I want to try and share whoever I can. Like, that's why I raise my hand every time they're like, hey, do you want to come to this church and speak? I'm like, I'm there. Sometimes my wife is like, stop it. Like, you have to pay some bills. You know what I mean? And I'm like, no, it's just, I have to have faith that I am doing what he wants me to do. And sometimes I cry, bro. I cried on the way here because I am so grateful for what my life is today. Man, I'm so grateful. Like, you don't even know. Like, I'm grateful just of how I feel. And it's priceless.
You have like a very calming, peaceful energy today. I feel like this whole space is now more peaceful.
Wait till tomorrow when I compete for those national records. I'm going to be a madman out there. I'm competing in all three. Squat, deadlift, and bench press. And the numbers are pretty big.
Yeah, I imagine.
So yeah.
So talk to me, like, now what's next? What's the vision? How do you feel like you're serving and helping and impacting people moving forward?
I mean, I'm going to school right now. I want to eventually be a pastor one day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to move forward with my Wrong to Strong facility. The idea for the facility was to transfer inmates out of their areas, bring them here, disciple them, then send them back and you know, start creating a change, you know, mm-hmm. trying to help. I had to go back to work, obviously, because, you know, not a lot of people believe in your cause. So I had to go back to work to kind of supplement everything that we're trying to do, me and my wife, because she backs me up pretty much in everything. So, I mean, right now it's just about working, man. I'm taking acting classes. I have a couple of friends that are like on TV shows and stuff like that. Okay. The Mayans, Chicago PD. I'm just giving everything a run, man. I'm working on a couple of books. My main thing right now, I'm training one-on-one. I'm training online. I mentor, you know, kids, men. I just want to give hope to men like me. That's all, man. I mean, that's the end goal.
Mm-hmm. So talk to me more about Wrong to Strong.
Wrong to Strong.
And like, I'm curious about like even the business side of it. Like, what is it? What kind of, do you have products and services that you offer? Is it, you do the coaching? It help me understand it a little bit more.
Yeah, well, Wrong to Strong right now is like changing. My whole YouTube is changing because I stopped talking about cartel and all that. Now it's going to be more of a, you know, building self, you know, mentoring, fitness, diet. I've been training since I was 9 years old, so I know a lot about food and everything. So I want to be able to give as much as I can to people that want to learn. Like I said, I offer online training in person. I love in person.
Yeah, I can tell you're an in-person energy guy. I feel that. I'm that way too.
My wife wants me to get away from it and just do online, but I love to be there training in person. I love to teach people. And I don't ever think I'm going to stop. Just thinking, man. But that's what it is right now. I mean, I'm just working. We're in the first building blocks of building everything. Obviously, I'm trying to release this year my clothing brand.
Okay.
Run Strong, like an urban Christian clothing brand.
Cool.
A supplement line that focuses more on recovery instead of like what everybody else focuses on, you know, protein, pre-workouts. No, like, are you resting? Are you sleeping? Because that's where the real growth happens, not in the gym.
Yeah.
Everybody has it backwards. So that's what I have right now. I have a lot of ideas, man. Like I said, I'm working on 3 books. Walking the Dog, A Dozen Roses, and How to Diet Like a Mexican.
It's a great title.
I'm just always going. I wake up every day at 2:45 in the morning.
You know, 2:45?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I wake up every day at 2:45. I get up. I meditate for about 30 minutes. I talk to God, pray. I read my devotions. I start texting my people, my Instagram. I mean, it's a full-time job just to do your social media.
Seriously.
YouTube also. And since everything's changing right now, you know, I'm involved with everything. So it's been a lot of work, but I'm enjoying it. I'm also going to get interviewed for a magazine that goes into like 90% of the prisons here in America, February 22nd. So that's going to be really good. Mm. I mean, the goal this year, bro, is to visit as many prisons as I can, and just give that free, like, present of hope to like every dude that's lived a life like mine. Mm-hmm. Or even not mine. I mean, I always tell people, they'll text me and be like, hey, I never been to prison. Could I be part of Wrong and Strong? I was like, everybody's Wrong and Strong because everybody's done something wrong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it takes you being real to be strong. So, like, everybody could be part of it. You don't have to be a felon. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice, but not.
No, I think that certainly relates. I mean, I can relate to that. We've all been wrong. Yeah. We'll always continue to be wrong. And that's just the way it is.
I always tell people, the dude that tells you that he's perfect, run away right away because he's probably a serial killer. So, yeah, man, that's pretty much it, man.
Where do you see yourself? Where do you see yourself and where do you see Wrong to Strong in 5, even 10 years?
Honestly, man, I just want to be able to help. I was telling my wife that really all I care about is just being able to pay my bills. And I want to give more. I want to be more involved in the community. I want to be like, I want to work 24/7 in that field. Mm. I don't want to be training at the gym. I want to be giving people hope. And I mean, that's the end goal for me. You know, putting in some grants this year. I have some people in my corner that are going to help me this year. So, I mean, I get a little emotional when I talk about it because I just, there's a lot of people out there that just need to know what love is because we live in really bad times right now. And this is coming from somebody that was bad his whole life. Like, it makes me sad to see people, how people treat each other, how they talk to each other, how they ignore each other they're on their phones. And like, I'm so like about putting my phone down, just giving my full attention to my wife. And like, just a lot of us have forgotten to be real men, I feel like. And I don't know. I want to lead by example.
Yeah, you are, man. I appreciate you just for being who you are.
Thank you.
Because I resonate with a lot, like putting the phone down, being present. I mean, I'm kind of past it just because I realize that's kind of the way a lot of the world is. Although, I mean, I have a big mission to like help people. I honestly believe technology is, it's a great, great tool. I mean, only yeah. reason that, you know, we're talking here is because of technology. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, it consumes us. And if you don't put strong boundaries on it and you're not really diligent with that, then it just keeps on sucking you in.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, there's I heard this thing about a month ago and said that when you're walking down the aisle of a grocery store, over 35,000 different brands are trying to pull your attention. Yeah. That's in a grocery store. Think about on social media. Like, and that's why, this is one of the big things I started with this, is like really having a vision. And I think it's so important to have a clear-cut picture of what your life looks like in a year, but even 5, 10 years, thinking that long-term vision, because now you have a decision-making framework from that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to fall into someone else's vision. And as we all know, most of those visions don't really adhere to us very well.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. And I think being present is one of the biggest superpowers that anyone can have. There was a guy that came on the podcast that said, the person that you're with should feel like the most important person in the world,
Yeah. Especially
when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
And I just, like, once I heard that, I was like,
yeah. You know, and my wife had to teach me all these things because I was so selfish, because I had to be selfish to survive my life.
Right.
So I didn't know what it was to be, what is that word called? Starts with a P. You see, I don't even know how to say it. Pathetic.
Empathetic.
Yeah, like all that. I didn't know how to be caring. Hey, how's your day? Like, it even feel odd for me to even be like that. But now I understand, because like she like had to like show me like what it was. And I mean, that's why I owe her so much. I love her to death for it. Like taking the time to retrain a crazy dog.
Well, dude, like, and that's why I'm very impressed with you and just inspired by you. But anybody as well that had a rough childhood, that didn't have that love and appreciation and care for, because I mean, those are the years that we're developing. They talk about how we're pretty much like 90-95% developed by the time we're 12 years old.
Yeah.
And for you to go through that, yeah, and it comes down to like just survival. You had to be selfish to survive. And for you to make this transformation and switch, it's really impressive.
I had to learn fast because my wife was getting tired of dealing with me. So I was like, I'm not going to lose like the best thing that ever happened to me. Like, she's my best friend. I can't see my life without her. Yeah. Don't make me cry.
That's amazing, man. Let me ask you this. What is success to you?
Honestly, I feel successful now because of how my heart feels. You know, I had money, I had businesses, I had restaurants, and I never felt what I feel today. And I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Like, I'm able to sleep at night. I'm able to, like, love my wife. Like, I just can't even explain it. Like, I would just wish more people would understand how easy it is to do what's right and how doing what's right makes you feel better.
Yeah.
And it takes training. So, you know, I always tell people, discipline is what's going to get you the you know, the farthest, because motivation comes and goes. I mean, you could watch a karate movie right now and start throwing kicks and everything, but by tomorrow you'll forget, you know, and the discipline is what makes, you know, makes everything happen. And sometimes when you don't feel like doing it, you do it. And that's why I really didn't start mentoring guys until this year, mm-hmm. because I felt, You can't help nobody if you haven't helped yourself. That's why they tell you in the planes when those masks fall down to put your mask on first before your children, because you're no good if you're not good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I waited to really heal and be better in order for me to say to the guys, hey, I can help you. I can mentor you. I could, you know, I could get you there. Just follow what I did.
So what is, like, if someone is lost or undisciplined and just feels like they're struggling and they don't have that structure and discipline in their life, what is your advice to them?
You know, everything takes practice. Everything takes, you know, habits take, they say 30 days to form. I think it's faster than that if you really want to do it. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I always tell people to do when they first start with me is, for 20 minutes, and time yourself, I always tell them, 20 minutes every day, sit down and don't move. Hmm. For 20 minutes. I do an hour like that. But it took a year of me training myself to do that. Because, and today, you sit for an hour, every second you think you need to check your phone or get up or do something, and your brain is constantly telling you not to sit like that. But it's because you're feeling growth while you're sitting down. Another thing I always tell people, small things to start with, get up every day at the same time. Every day, it doesn't matter whether it's Saturday, Sunday, Super Bowl, no Super Bowl, like, get up at the same time every day. A lot of my friends will be like, hey, did you watch the basketball game? And I'm like, no. Oh man, you missed the best game. And I'm like, they ain't paying my rent. That, you know, the first is around the corner. So it's like, you know, it's small disciplines like that that'll help you get further in life. I think so. And just like getting up at the same time every day, you'll be surprised what that does. It gives you more time in your day to scroll on your phone. Like,
I remember when a morning routine changed my life. I dedicated, like, I went like 6 months really hard, and then ended up being like a year by the end of it. And it changed everything. Changed absolutely everything. And I think that is a great point. It's like, it really, I think it starts with discipline. But then after you like get over that hump of being disciplined, then it's about shedding more layers. Yeah. But it has to start there, because most people just don't have the structure, and they get on Instagram. They're just, I think it's that they're kind of just wavering.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are in this indecision of like, oh, I don't know what I want. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm here for. And it's because they just don't make decisions. There's you'll like this one. Guy sitting on the fence. The devil comes up to him and says, on both sides of the fence is heaven and hell. And the devil says, which side are you going to pick? And he said, I'm not sure. I haven't decided yet. He's like, all right, I'll be back. Let me know when I come back. Comes back. He's like, which side? He's like, I don't know. I haven't decided yet. He's like, all right, come with me. He's like, no, I told you I haven't decided. He said, yeah, the fence is mine.
Yeah. Trust me, I tell people all the time, you have to pick a side. Just like the Matrix, you got to pick one pill, red or blue.
Yeah.
You can't be on both sides and you can't tap. I was like, I'm the poster child for tapping on both sides. And guess what? It always landed me in the same place with the same problems. Mm-hmm. You know, when me and my wife were splitting up, I went and I filled out like apartment applications. They always denied me because of my criminal background. Mm-hmm. Always. This time they said yes. So that means for the first time in my life, I am completely clear. It's been long enough from my criminal charges. Mm. So like, I was like, man, that was a huge win for me.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe it. I told the lady, I was like, are you sure my criminal background is sure? She's like, yes, JC. I was like, well, can I get a copy of that? Because like, I don't believe you.
Put that in frame.
Yeah.
Trophy.
So yeah, man, life is good, man. And like I said, that's the biggest thing right now, is just trying to help as many men as I can. I mean, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I love that, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I have one last question I always like to end on. It's a deep question, but it gets you thinking. What are people saying at your funeral?
You know, I ask that question to myself all the time, and I always ask, like, what would my kids say, you know, at my funeral?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I always, like, say it, like, man, my dad really messed up his life, but at the end, he got it together. Like, right now, my kids are looking at me different, so it's what I care about.
Yeah, man. It's not what happens to you, it's how you respond.
Yep.
Well, JC, thanks for being on. Is there any last things that you want to say? Any shout outs? Anything you want to plug? Anything? Is the best place to connect with you on Instagram or YouTube?
I mean, just type in Wrong to Strong and everything will come out. I mean, I've done pretty good with the search engine.
It's where it all started.
It's where it all started. And Nah, man, it's just, it's never too late. It's never too late. I know it's hard to be strong sometimes, but it's never too late. Mm-hmm. And that's just my message, man.
And as I always like to give this the opportunity too, if anybody's listening, like, is there any way anybody, and myself or anybody listening, that could support you in any capacity?
Yeah, they could go to www.roundstrong.com, and we have our donation button there, and just information of what's going on, what churches we're going to be speaking at. We're going to be going to Abilene, Texas next month. Just go on the website. You'll see all the information.
Cool. Well, thanks for being on, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you, brother.
Alrighty, my friend. Thank you so much for listening to that episode of the Just Grow podcast. Truly appreciate your time. Know your time is extremely valuable. So to spend it with the Just Grow podcast, we truly appreciate it. If you did get value from this, make sure and share this with at least one friend that can get some value out of this that can help improve their life in some capacity. With that said, make sure and head over to justgrowvisions.com. You can join our free Facebook group where we go live every Wednesday night, where we have this very systematic structure and framework on how to craft a vision, get very clear on what you want, then turn it into reality very quickly. It's a really cool process. We've helped dozens of clients, and now we have a free Facebook group where you can plug in every single week and just learn how we're doing this and then connect with amazing like-minded individuals. So thank you for listening to this episode of the Just Grow podcast. Make sure and share this. Appreciate you guys, and we'll see you on the next one.